Let's probably start at the bottom of Tzadichet with that. We have the Gemara is discussing about the issue of shlichim. A shliach does a portion of what he's told to do, or in excess of what he's told to do. How do we view that? Do we view that as being he's done what the request was from him plus more? Or has he then totally uprooted what he was asked to do, and what he's doing now is something totally new? So the Gemara tries to bring a proof from our Mishnah. Tashma, it's on the bottom of Tzadichet Amud Bet, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Tashma, Heita, Ktubata Mana, Umachra Shava Mana, Dinar, Bimana. Machra, Michra, Batel. So if she sells she has a ksuba that's worth 100, right? And then she sells it for 101, right? Then we reverse her transaction. My love, what's the transaction here? The zavin shavim on the vidina or b'man the vidina. That she's selling a land worth 101 for 101. Meaning that she's not making any mistake on the price. The price is correct, right? But why is she, what's the problem here? And then it's the problem, the Mishnah said it was mana. My b'mana, b'mana shalah. Because she's only entitled to 100. So here she is selling something worth 101 for 101, whereas she's only entitled to 100. So this is the equivalent of our cases by the shlichim, right? Where the shlichim are saying, the vow sends him to do something, and now this is the equivalent, the asomim, or the estate, allows her to sell property to fulfill her ksuba, but she's only allowed to sell property worth 100. Now she's selling property worth 101. She's selling something in excess of the value of her ksuba. So afilu, he omeret, and even though she offers to return the excess back to the Yosomim, means she says, I'll buy karka with that excess capital, nevertheless, that her sale is no good. We disqualify her sale. So this seems to be our case. Here she is, a shliach of the estate, a shliach of the Yosomim, and she's doing an excess of what she was asked to do. Even though she returns the extra capital that she raised because she doesn't need it, and returns it in karka, nevertheless we say mechubata that she failed, meaning that she's not considered a shliach at all. So that would be a proof or an answer for our question about what happens to a shliach when he does an excess of what he's supposed to do. That's not really what's going on in that case. Bida ozil. Here's where she sold it on the cheap. And it was property worth 101, but yet she sells it for 100. So it says, "Vaha midin sefer b'dozil haberesha b'dlo ozil." Right? If the latter cases in the Mishnah are talking about cases where she undersold, then obviously the earlier cases are not going to be undersold. The case of undersold, because otherwise, right, there'd be the redundant, right? Tani sefer. Says later on the Mishnah, the last case of the Mishnah, "Haita ktubata abar me'odzul." She has a ksuba worth 400. So she has 400, she's entitled to 400, and then she sells it off in 100 blocks of 100. So she sells 100, then 100, and then the last 100, right, where she only has 100 left, she sells a piece of property that's worth 101 for 100. So that's exactly that case of Mosul, right? She's underselling the price here. Should have been 101, she sells it for a mana. Then, Mikra Batel. Then we reverse her transaction. Vishul kulan michun kayim. But all the other previous transactions stand. So what do you see? That last case in the Mishnah is a case where she undersold the value of the property. She sold it for 100 when it was really worth 101. So why do you need the ratio then to teach me the exact same case of selling it at 100 when it's 101? It must be that the ratio case is something different. So Mara says, no. Lo. Ratio v'seifa bidda ozil. They're both similar cases in that she is selling the property for below its value. But seifa hakamashmalan. So why is the seifa not redundant in repeating the case? The kamashmalan the time of the ozil b'diyatme alva b'dido michro kayin. That comes to teach us, the seifa comes to teach us that only when she lowers the value or undersells the true value with regards to the Yosomim's property do we reverse the transaction. But if she takes less money for something that coming to her, meaning for her ksuba, then michro kayim, then the sale would stand. So the Gemara says, we know that already from the earlier case in the Mishnah. What's the first case in the Mishnah? The first case in the Mishnah was what? Haita ksubata matayim, michwa shaveh moneh b'matayim. She has a ksuba worth 200, and she sells a property worth 100 for 200. Oh, shaveh matayim b'moneh. But she sells property of 200 to 100, niskabla ktubata. She gets her ksuba. So we already know that difference, that only when she mistakenly sells the Isomim's property for too little do we reverse it. But her property, we see it stands. Here she's selling land worth 200 for 100, and we say the sale stands. So that can't be what the Seifa is coming to teach us. So now the Gemara gives one more shot at it. So the Gemara says, right over there, she's getting paid out in full. Right, so in that case, that first case in the Mishnah, why do we say that her sale stands when she undersells her ksuba? I mean, she takes land that's worth 200, sells it for 100, and we say the sale stands because she no longer has a claim on the estate. She's now been fulfilled entirely on her ksuba. Once she's paid out on her ksuba, there's nothing to talk about. But in our cases, in the last case in the Mishnah, we're going to worry if we don't reverse the right transaction, we're going to nigzer manu rishon onto manu achron because she's getting piecemeal, she's getting taken out of the ksuba, and therefore if we allow her or we allow these mistakes to stand, we might come to say what? That even in the last case, in the case where it's 101 and 100 for her last piece, that they'll also let that sale stand, and that's not proper in that case. So it's, the Mishnah then has three different cases.
That's the other way around. We're afraid that if we reverse the last sale, we'll reverse the first three also.
Then she's still
involved in the estate.
Hold on one second. Let's see that. Nigzer manu rishon ato manu achron.
We allowed it to stand in manu rishon.
Right. That's the reason that we have to teach it, and because we're afraid. We might have had a havamina that since we're invalidating the last sale, we have to validate the first three sales also. We say no. Right. You got the last sale.
That's the limit. The reason you have to add it. You might have thought that we've invalidated the first sale.
Right.
Out of shashi, you might make the same mistake in the last sale. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. It is. Exactly. That's what it is. So, all right. So that's if we don't invalidate the first sales, we might come not to invalidate the last sale.
You might have thought that.
Right, we might have thought that. The chiddush is that we let the first sale stand and we don't worry about the last sales, right? So I think that's what we said. All right. Now let's go quickly back over this sugya. So the Mishnah has three cases in it. So we have to differentiate each of those three cases. Now, the Mishnah was brought to try to answer our question about when a shliach deviates from his shlichut, how do we view that? Do we view that when he's mosif, do we view that as a totally undoing of a shlichut, or do you see that simply as he did a shlichut plus, there's a bonus there, and that the problem is the bonus part, but not the actual shlichut is complete. So Gemara tried to bring a proof from our Mishnah, and the Gemara rejects it. Once the Gemara rejects that, it has to explain our Mishnah, because there are three different cases in the Mishnah, and how's each case unique? So we have the first case in the Mishnah is where the woman herself sells the property for less than it's worth. And it's worth 200 and she sells it for 100. But there we say the sale stands. Why? Because that's for her in her own. She's not acting as a shliach for the Yisomim or for the estate. There she's acting on her own behalf. Since she's acting on her own behalf, we say that the sale stands because there's something ain't on the karkos. There's no such thing as mispricing in land, because land is not something that has a fixed value.
Do we hold like that in halacha? That's Rish Lakish, right?
Yeah. I don't know about karkos, it's Shmuel. We're going to see it later on in today's daf. Shmuel says that, I don't know about karkos. So now, because there's no one about karkos, we say her stands, because she's acting on her own behalf. So that's the chiddush of the first case. Second case of the Mishnah is where she sells 101 for 100. So there she's selling it below value. Right, that 101 below 100, and that's the basic case to teach you that when she sells on behalf of the Yisomim, right, then it's nullified because we say it's not, right, she undersold the property, and therefore we undo the transaction in this case. Then we have a last case in the Mishnah, which breaks down that she sold 300 at the right price, and then she sold the last one at 101 at 100. So the chiddush there is that we allow the first three transactions to stand, even though the last transaction is going to be reversed, because we don't want to, we don't say, this is what the commercial line is, we don't say that we reverse the first transactions to worry about the last transactions. And how does that differ from the first case in the Mishnah? Right? How does that differ, or how does it differ from the other cases in the Mishnah? Is over here is that she is, over there they pulled her out of the estate entirely. In those other cases, she was sold out and there's nothing to talk about. The chiddush here is that she wasn't. She was getting her ksuba piecemeal. By getting her ksuba piecemeal, there might have been a thought to be gozer in the earlier cases because of the last cases. And that we don't say.
Because when we invalidate the last case, she still has an amount coming to her. When we invalidate the last sale, she still has a good, so she still has 100 that's coming.
Right, but I don't think that they're more worried about the first 300 that she sold, that if we don't invalidate
the but the Havamina is that since she's not being pulled out of the estate then, so if we're invalidating that one, then we invalidate the first three also.
Okay.
In the first case, there's no Yisomin?
There might be Yisomin, but there she is taking the property for... She sold it out on her behalf for her ksuba, right? So you're asking me why not? Oh, in the other cases, right? When she makes a mistake, right? But there she's making a mistake that's her problem. I mean, she's accepting that she took property that was worth 200, and now whatever she sells it for is what she's going to get, right?
But her ksuba gets knocked off.
Right, but it gets knocked off by the 200. In the next case, she's taking 101, which is an excess of her ksuba, right? In that second case, it's an excess of her ksuba. The first case, that is the complete ksuba, and she's getting paid on her ksuba. So it all goes to her. The next case, where she sells the 101 for 100, she cheated out the misomim with that one dinar. We're not worried about the 100, we're worried about the one that she left over, that one extra dinar that she's selling that's not for the ksuba. Okay. Ikadamri. So now another way to say this, and this will possibly answer up. Haloti bayilach. Our question in the Gemara is not a question. And what was that question? That if he's mosif, the shliach's mosif, what's the case there? So that's what does that teach us? Zil hecha de amar le zil zavin li litka, where he goes and says buy a litka or sell a litka, but zavin le kura, and he sells a kura where he went in excess. The vade mosif al dvarav havi. Then he's a mosif. So therefore, what he did is stands, right? And what he did in excess will be the problem. But that which he did, he fulfilled the shlichus net. Ki di bayalach. What's the question? De amar le zil zavin li kura vazel zan le litka. The opposite case where he asked him to do more. And he only does a portion of it. All right, he only does a portion of it. So that'll be the question over here. Mai, what's the case over here? What's the halacha in this case? So the Gemara now, according to the Zikud Amri, the Gemara doesn't have any question when the Ishliach is in excess of what he's asked to do, that he's done what the Baal did, plus. All right, now the only question is if he does it in less. Is his deficiency in what the Baal asked, therefore make him not a Shliach at all? Or do we say that at least he accomplished a portion of what the Baal asked him to do? So mi amrina damalei tava the tavalach avdeach, I did something good for you. Tilo mitzrech lach zuze lo matid harbe. He goes basically, you told me to sell a big piece of land so that you have cash to work with, and instead I sold only half of that. And you know why I helped you out is because maybe you won't need all that money. If you don't need that money, you won't be able to reverse the transaction later on. So we'll sell it in piecemeal, and that way you'll end up in a better position, because then you only get the cash when you need the cash, and you won't have to reverse the reverse the transaction later. He doesn't, I don't want to have more transactions. I mean, there are going to be more staros that are, I have to write more staros, I have more issues because there are more staros out there. I'd rather have it be one big transaction than to be numerous transactions. Amra b'chinina misura tashma. I have a case here. Not on low dinar shel zav, barmelo hevili chaluk, gives him one gold coin and says, buy me a shirt, buy me a jacket, whatever it is with this. V'halach v'evilo b'shalosh chaluk u'b'shalosh talis, brings for him three a chaluk, and with three he brings him a talis. So that sounds like half. It sounds like that, because Rashi says for some reason dinar shel zav is shav a chafei dinarim kesef, is worth 6, 25. Silver coins, which is equivalent of shisha slime. But in general, we say that a sela is worth 4 dinar, or dinar kesef. So that would only make 24, which is what Tosfos says. Tosfos says it's 24. I don't know, I didn't see anything, but I don't know why Rashi has 25, and then that being 6 slime, it's not a big deal, it's not off by much. But anyway, basically what they're saying is he took half the value of the gold coin, and he bought a jack with it, and then he bought another half the coin, he bought a talit with that, he bought some sort of talis. So shnehem alu, this coin, this gold coin, belonged to Hekdesh. They're both going to be considered having done mi'ilo over here. Does his shlichus, meaning that even though he didn't buy a jacket worth six, but he bought a jacket worth three, nevertheless he's considered to have exercised right his rights as an, or he's acting as an agent, right? And then he's adding on, mishamachi balabais mal. Therefore, the balabais got benefit from hekdesh, right? And then he has to bring a korban meila, and so too the shliach has been mal. If you suggest that in a case where he is doing less than the bow, than the Mishaleach asked him to do, that it was as if he did nothing, then am I mal? Then why does the Balabayas have any mila here? He didn't have, the Shliach never did anything that he asked him to do. He brought him something worth six for three. So then, if that's the case, why is the shliach mal? So the guy says a talis, that he has the extra talis over here that he bought. He used the extra money. That was his problem. So anyway, so what's the case over here? So he did fulfill. So it's not a proof to our case because he did fulfill what the original mishaleach asked him to do. What did the original mishaleach say? Get me a jacket worth six. So he got him a jacket worth six because it cost three. That doesn't matter. Right. He got a good deal.
He just bought the jacket. It would be mud.
Right. The shliach wouldn't have been mal, but the balabais would have been mal.
Not sale. He wanted me to spend six others. Let me get him something else with her.
Right. So the point over here is basically it's not a proof to our case. We're not dealing with a shliach that did a subpar performance or did something that was below what the baal asked. He did exactly what the baal asked him. He got him a jacket worth six shekel, right? So now the Gemara says, what are you going to do with the second part of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ach bezeh balabait lo mal. The balabai is not going to be ila, minesh yochel omar. Cholok gadol hayiti mevakesh. I wanted a big jacket. Right? Vata, hevet li cholok katan, and you brought me a small jacket, a small tunic. Vira, katan vira. My ra. What does this bra mean? I mean, what does it mean that he got him a small jacket? He bought him one worth six. He asked for one worth six. Right? My ra, ra vidomim. That's what? That he gave him a less price. Damalei. What can the Baal say to him? I aisat li bishit. Koshkin da vishavat arti sari. I mean, I asked you to spend, right, we said now the focus was on the jacket, the quality of the jacket. You told me to buy a six seller jacket, and I brought you a six seller jacket. Just because it cost me three seller doesn't mean that it's a bad jacket. But I says, no, I said to buy me something something of value of six seller, right? And you bought me something, what, only of a three seller value. Had you spent the full six seller, I would have gotten a jacket worth 12. Meaning that everything's selling at twice the price. Now Rashi points out over here, it's important Rashi, that it can't be just that he's getting 12, because then it's not a big deal. Meaning that if he gets if he spends three and gets six, or he spends six and gets 12, then the Balabais really hasn't benefited in that sense, because he goes spell the other three, and he'll get him up to the same amount. But rather Rashi says is that there's economies of scale. The more money you spend, you actually get an excess of 12. So that's what Rashi, you see, look in Rashi. I would have benefited even more. To have been worth 12 big slayim. Whenever you buy more, they lower the price. I mean, this is the bulk, right? Bulk buying, right? The discount, the bulk discount, or the
warehouse.
Economies of scale, right? Warehouse pricing. So that Rashi suggestion, you'll see from the next line in the Gemara that why Rashi was forced to say it this way, but it's not that there's a quantitative relationship that whatever you spend, I get twice as much as what I spent, but rather the more you spend, it'll be, right, it's
a greater gain.
Right, there's an incremental benefit by spending more because it's there's not a linear relationship here, but right, rather a multiplicative value because of the discount that you get from buying more. So the Gemara says over here, well, let's continue the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, there's a koshkin da mishnah to tell you, deganami. We can prove this from the next line in the Mishnah. Why diktani? Modi Rabbi Yehuda admits bekitnit when he's buying beans. Shishnei mal. That there, in that case, they both did meila. So over here, Rabbi Yehuda says what? That only the shliach, that the shliach did not do his shlichus when it came to buying him a six seller jacket for three seller, because the shliach did not do what the balabais has asked him to do. He asked him to buy six seller worth of a jacket or a chaluk, and he only bought a three seller worth. So now Rabbi Yehuda agrees by kitnit, which are by beans, that shnei malach. Shakitnit b'sela, v'kitnit b'pruta. Because beans are sold at a linear relationship. I mean, no matter what you spend, you always get the same quantity of beans. So that doesn't. There's no bulk discount.
Same quality of beans also.
Right, quality, quantity, but there's no bulk discount, basically. That's the point here. As opposed to, in the previous case, by the jacket, there's a bulk discount. Shmami noah, heichadam. What's the case here? If it's a case when they sell by estimation, right, then mostly gabe. Then certainly when he pays more, they're going to give him more. Either they're going to give him a discount, because when you're estimating, as the numbers get larger, when you're estimating, or when you're doing by assessed values, you're going to end up with more. People will be willing to give you a little bit extra, or throw in a little more, because they're not makbid when it gets to a bigger amount. It's a case where they sell at the exact linear relationship. No matter what you pay, there will always be an exact relationship between the amount you pay and the beans. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? You see that Rabbi Yehuda, that the case must be that when he says that the shliach and the baal bayit are ma'al, when's that? When the shliach goes ahead, and even though he buys less than the baal asked him to do, the baal cannot say to him, I would have had benefit had you bought more. Because when he buys with three sela, when he goes in and buys with the other three sela, he ends up with the same amount. So buying it in one transaction or two transactions has no bearing on the baal habayit. So therefore the baal habayit is moel in that case. Whereas in the case where he says, I wanted a jacket worth six, and you bought me a jacket worth three, then even though when I buy three, he says, I bought you one that's now would have cost six sela. He says, no, but if you bought me one for six sela, I would end up with 12 plus. I mean, that would have a better release.
I still don't really understand Rabbi Yehuda's position there. Because what was his original request? The question is whether he's complying with the original instruction that he gave.
Right.
And the Gemara said, what are we talking about? In my case, where he did comply with the original instruction. Where the original instruction was to get him a shirt worth six sela, and he did get him a shirt worth six sela. So Rabbi Yehuda's saying along, Rabbi Yehuda is not talking about the same case. He's saying, no, he didn't really get him what he wanted. Right, you know, it sort of practically implies that the Baal knew that there was a depression in the prices now, that he could have gotten more for his six sela.
Right.
You know, like more. It's like he's rejecting it, but he's really talking about a different case than when we said Hachabah Mayaskena.
Right, I had a different case. He's just saying that the focus is different.
Right, a different understanding.
The Baal can say you failed to fulfill, comply with my request.
Right, no, but you know, but we said, but when we say Hachamay Askinan, we're saying, how do we interpret that he did comply with his request, whatever that means. Right,
depends what you think the request was. That's the point. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're misreading what the request was. The request was not simply to buy me a chaluk with six sela, it was to spend six sela on a chaluk.
So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if someone asks for a specific, it's like he's saying that if someone asks for a specific item like that, unlike kitnis, where you don't usually have
any relationship,
that relationship, so then you have to assume that the person would have wanted to get the most bang for his buck on that item specifically.
Right. Well, you say like flowers. You say send someone to get flowers for your wife. You say go spend $20 on flowers for my wife. So does that mean that go spend, if you can get $20 worth of flowers for 10, that's what you want? Or did I want to spend $20 worth of flowers for my wife and I'll get something even bigger? And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. That's the point of the question. All right. Now, I'll just point out something. It's an amazing Tosos here on the Amud Aleph. Tosos has an issue with the relationship between gold and silver. That this Tosos shows up in other places in Shas, but he can't understand why one gold coin will end up with 25 silver coins. He says that the Tosos says that relationship is too big. He says you can't have the difference in value between gold and silver is not at that rate of 25 to 1, and so he's upset with the relationship. So he's trying to deal with it. He says, how can the Gemara suggest this? It's an amazing it's an amazing Tosos, because he says that. He says, if you look at the Tosfos, let's just read it quickly, just the first lines, and I'll just point it out to you, because I think it's an amazing fact that Tosfos is willing to question the Gemara based on the relationship between gold and silver in his time, and say that there's just no way you can see such a differential between the value of gold and the value of silver.
What's it now?
It's not that much off, because it's not, gold is 800 and something per ounce, and silver is like 400 now, 350, 400 per ounce, so it's only two times. on a weight basis, it's only two times the price.
On a weight basis, though.
Right.
On a size basis.
No, weight, but they're selling in weight. Right. So that's, oh, you're going to see in a second what Tosfos does with this. But it, he's saying the relationship at least would be a coin. You have two equal coins. One's made out of gold and one is made out of
silver.
And then you're going to say it's 25 to 1, the differential, which means that he says that's just the rate is just way in excess of what it should be. It's Avalei. So if you say here, Tema. The Fimash no Marina Bizov, Dinar Shal Kesav Echad Esrim Khamisha Bidinar. One Dinar Kesav is 1/25 of a Dinar Zarav, Heki Kamar Haka. Right, behavior low Bisholish Bakalik Bisholish Batalis. Avale Bisholish Bakati Dinar Bakalik Bakhina Thousand. Right here he says 3.5. That he deals with the relationships wrong. Vote Lomatsinu Mano Hakadmoni Muflag Mishalanu Kolkak. We don't see that the money in their times is so different than the money in our times. Okay. Now, in their coinage, it's not like today our coinage, which is not their coinage was actual, right? Actual metals, and that was what we could give the value. The hokir at the zahav, the hazil at the kesef. Gold should be worth so much, and silver worth so little. The actual lomasinu sheyakar zahav al kesef. Gold will only exceed silver, right? Yoter mi mishkalo elishne masar shkolim. Only 12. You know, only 12 shekel above, meaning like 12-to-1 ratio versus the 25-to-1 ratio that we're seeing in the Gemara. So he says, how could it be that we don't find their money so different than our money that it should be such a big differential? So what does Tosfos has to do in the end? Tosfos says a funny thing. He says that the coins, gold coins, were actually two times the size of the silver coins. That's it. They were bigger. So therefore, they really weighed twice as much as the silver coins. And then, therefore, the relationship's only 12.5 to 1, not 25 to 1, because one gold coin is really worth 25, but it's two times the weight. So you have to really look at it. If you look on a weight-to-weight basis, it'd only be 12.5.
If it's twice as big, it's going to be more than twice as heavy, because gold is much heavier than silver.
Much is heavier, right? I'm assuming by weight. I mean, twice as big. He's talking about. I'm assuming it's about weight, because he keeps talking about mishkal. He talks about mishkal naki, that it's a clear, it's clean gold. It's a totally purified gold over here. So he says, "Imkay nisn much mishkal shel zahav, you'd bet shel kesef." Right? He's using weight as a differential. So that's my mistake, not size, but rather he's saying weight. That the gold coins weigh twice as much as the silver coins, and therefore the relationship is different. Because when they said one gold coin gets you 25 silver, it really means that on a weight-to-weight basis, it would get you 12 silver coins, not one silver coin.
This would be an interesting thing where archaeology could ultimately shed light on it, right?
It's just amazing that Tosfos even, he's asking because of the coinage in his time or the way that the gold-silver relationship, how could the Gemara have such a relationship? It couldn't be that the relationship
that
was so stretched. Difference. Yeah, strange. Seeing it in other places, Tosfos asks the same question. I find it fascinating that he would ask a question based on that. Not, you know, it's not a question from the Gemara in other places, it's just a question from a practical side. All right. All right, so now right during the Gemara, so now we have no proof to our case here. What we're trying to prove again is that when a shliach does a portion of what he's asked to do, is that enough to be considered that he's acting as an agent and he fulfilled at least a portion of his agency, or do we say that he's failed entirely and he's done none of his agency whatsoever? So Amar Papa, oh wait, we did that already. Tashma, Haytak Tubata Arbar Meod Zus. Back to our Mishnah, you have a ksuba that's worth 400. Machol Lezeb Manu Lezeb Manu Achon Yofe Manu V'Dinar. Right, she sells 100, and then sells the last one for 101 for 100. Shalakum batel, mechon kayam. So the last one is batel, but all the others stand. So there she's doing what? So that's our case, basically. She's selling in piecemeal. Right? She's doing, each time she goes and sells 100, she's not doing the bidding of the estate, or she's not doing the bidding of the Yisomim, because they would have preferred her to sell 400 in one shot. She would make, I mean, that people would give more value for selling it in a block than to sell it off in piecemeal. So how come when she sells it off piecemeal, we say that she's fulfilled her agency? Must be that when you do partial agency, that is, you're still considered a proper agent. No, the problem is that this property is spread out. It is dispersed property. She's not selling a single unit of property in piecemeal. She's at, these are the pieces. Exactly. These are the small pieces that she's selling off. So she's doing, in each case, she's acting as the agent in a full amount or full B. Hachanami biktine. Our case here is biktine. Pshito. All right, this is Gemara Smar. Pshito. Amar le'echad v'lo l'shnayim. She says, sell to one and not to two. Right? Then what? He says, Amar le'echad v'lo l'shnayim. And you go ahead and sell it to two. There's nothing to talk about. Right, so this is our case. So when the shliach does his agency only in portion, and he sells out the property in two units, then he clearly has not fulfilled what the Balabaita said, because the Balabaita said sell to one, not to two. Now, Amalei le'echad stama. What happens if you just sell it to one? Right? My. So what is that case?
Not. He didn't say not to two.
He didn't say the other qualification, which is sell it to one, not to two. He just said sell it to one. So that's it. My. Rabbuna amar le'echad below the shnayim. That means the same thing as saying one and not two. Doesn't matter how he sells it to. It's not that he's saying one in exclusion of other. He's just going, sell it off. That'll be the easiest way to sell it off. Just sell it off to one and get rid of it. But that's not that he's saying to the exclusion of selling it to more than one. It just means, you know, sell it. So that's Ikla. I'll point it out. It's not so important, but I'm pointing out here that the Gemara, obviously, you have to come up with a differential to our Gemara above. Above, the Gemara suggested what was the difference. That he can say, I don't lo ratzita lafushe shtarit. I don't want to make more shtaros over here, right? So then over here is a classic case. He says, echad v'lo l'shtayim, or echad v'lo l'meya. Right? The Gemara is saying, echad l'shtayim, or l'meya, doesn't matter, but you're a fushe shtaros. So what's going on here? So those are the different answers. I just point out one of them, which makes it easier to say. He says that here he's selling it all in one shtar. Selling one shtar to multiple people out of one shtar. Over there, he's selling it out of multiple shtaros. So over here, the Baal Bayis doesn't have that claim that when he's selling it out of one shtar to multiple people, what does he matter? So, does it mean that he what? Lo afushe bali dinim. I don't want to have more people I have to go to court against if there's a question about the sale. Then I have separate court dates for each one of them. And therefore, he makes that claim. Or do we say, once it's in one shtar, right, that's okay. Or do we say, multiple shtars, what's the problem? He has to be mekayim eidim on each shtar. So what's the deficiency by selling it to multiple people? Is it that he has to have multiple shtaros and he has to make kind of multiple shtaros? Or is the deficiency what? That even when it's one shtar, that he has multiple bali dinim. So that'll be the machlokas here, Ben Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, once it's in one shtar, that's it. He doesn't really, can't have that many complaints anymore. Whereas Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, Rav Chisda says, can still have complaints, because he has to go to multiple times to Beis Din. Rav Chisda and Rav Huna says, no, he sold it one shtar, that's enough. You know, whatever that fact that he has to come to Beis Din multiple times, that's not something that he's going to worry about. All right, Ikla Rav Nachman the Sura. So Rav Nachman, who you've seen many times, is a dayan, right? He's known as an expert dayan. Here he goes to Sura. Ola Gabei Rav Chisda Rabba Bar Vuna. So Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Vuna of the opinion that Echad Lemeir or Echad Lashnayim doesn't matter. They went to Rav Nachman Amar Lei Ki Haygav Namai. They asked him the shala they were passing on. They asked Rav Nachman Mlu Lechad Bafilu Shnayim Lechad Bafilu Lemeir. So he agreed with their position. So Amrulei Afagav Tator Shliach. They say, well, if that's the case, what, that if we say one is equal to two and one is equal to 100, then maybe we should say it even when the Shliach makes a mistake, right, meaning that he undersells it or oversells the value, right, then it should stand. The sale should stand. So Amrulei Tator Shliach Lo Kamino. Now, when the Shliach himself makes a mistake, then I do not say this. So that's only when he says, meaning that the implicit in one is that it could be, that because he didn't say not two, that means one could be two, one could be 100, that he really wasn't makpid, it was just a suggestion to go sell it to one, not a hakpada. Whereas when the shliach goes ahead and executes a sale and sells it for less than its value, the Baal can say, that's not what I asked for. So Amalei, is that really true? Bar Mamar, Eino Noh L'Karkos. You, right, you Rav Nachman, were the one who said, what? Ain't no no the karkos. If you say ain't no no the karkos, then why, when the shliach acts and sells it for less than the value, what did he do wrong? He didn't. He sold it. Property has different values to different people. There's no right exacting price that you can have by land. Land doesn't sell for a fixed price. It depends on everybody's situation.
You think the answer is right. The problem is not, it was in his fulfillment of the shlichus, not on karkos.
Okay, so that's it. It's good. It's honey miller. That's what he answers up. Echad the tall balabais. That's when the owner himself makes a mistake. We say ain't no no karkos. Aval tall shliach. The shliach makes a mistake. I'm a lay. Let's kunei shor detich lo leivute. I sent you to do for my benefit, not to my detriment. So he can make, in that case, he can make a claim that what, even though there isn't onah the karkos, he has a claim against the shliach acting as his agent.
And that will nullify the sale.
Nullify the agency, which will nullify the sale. Right. That's by nullifying the agency, you'll, right, by definition, nullify the sale. So that's what Rav Nachman says. When he says echad, that means afilu lishnayim, afilu lemeya. But if he makes a mistake and sells it below value, then, right, that's no longer shlichus, and that's a failure in the shlichus. So therefore, we will nullify the sale. Whereas if the Baal Bayit acted on his own, right, then it would be okay, because then he can't say, you know, he has no claim anymore. Umnat hemra, the shani ben shlech la Baal Bayit. And how do I know that there's a difference between a shliach and a Baal Bayit? It's not. We have by truma. Homer l'shlucha tevet trom. Right, go out and take truma for me. Torem kadas Baal Bayit. He goes and is torem based on what he thinks the owner would have taken up. What happens if he doesn't know this person well and he sent him to the Truma? He can be, he told him like a middle line person, which is Echad Michamishim, 1/50. So that's it. The Chachamim gave three different shiurim by Truma. They gave 1/50, which is a Beinonit, 1/40 is a generous person, and 1/60 is a miserly person. So he says if he knows what the Balabayit wants, he should execute like the Balabayit would want. If he doesn't know what the Balabayit wants, he just goes down Beinonit, and the Balabayit can't have any claim on him. Pichet Asara, Husi Basara, Chumata, Chuma. If he still, even if he didn't do the Beinonit, if he did 1/40 or 1/60, his agency stands. Why? Because he acted within the confines of the halacha, of what the Chacham suggested. If you look at Balabayis, Balabayis, Tanya, we have a brisa, Tarim v'ala b'yodo afilu echa me'asrim. He did Chuma and he even gets 1/20, Chuma so Chuma. That Chuma will stand. Why? Because when the Balabayis makes a mistake, in that sense, we say that it's not a mistake, that's his action. Right, it's his action, and it's considered truma over here, because truma can be given at any amount, as long as it can go for even the smallest amount, poter echad bakeri, that's what Shmuel says. Shmuel himself says that you can take one little piece, and that's enough truma, that's what we do today. Right, today when we take off truma, we take off 1% plus, that little plus is the truma that we take off. So we're taking off the minimum amount to fulfill truma, and truma can be as much as you want until you leave over just one little piece. I mean, Truma can be 99% of it. You have to leave over because you need Shirayim for it. You need Shiareha, Nikarim. You need something left over. So Truma can reign the whole range, Minat Torah. Just the Chum suggested a band of 140, 150, and 160th. So therefore, if it's a Shliach acting as an agent, then he's got to act within the confines of what the Chum said. Otherwise, then we say that he's invalid. What he did was invalid. Whereas with the Balabayit, he can, anything in the gamut is considered Truma, and therefore when he acts and it comes out in one of these ways, we're going to say it's a good Truma. So you see, therefore, there's a difference between a shliach and the balabais. Tashma, haitak tubat arbar meodzus. So let's see what our Mishnah, right? She has a tzuba worth of 400. Machal lezeb b'manav lezeb b'manav achon shav b'manav b'dinar. B'manav shal achon b'itel. V'shul kulan mechon kayam. So here again, she's doing partial agency. Amarav shishabed rav yidei b'ktini. This is this, when the Gemara said hachanami up above, they were quoting this Gemara over here. Like he said, lachanami, just like we said before, was b'ktini, hachanami b'ktini. That was what the Gemara was saying above, that it was what? That it's a case of small lots of property. Since it's small lots of property,
she did shlichus.
Right. Did the shlichus over here. Problem, Gemara's asking the same question they asked above. So Rashi reads this being, if you say making more shtaros is a problem, right, so also by the yisum. So the Gemara, he's saying that the Gemara early on was asking about mikra kayam, which is what? When she does partial agency. Is partial agency enough? And the Gemara above said, okay, that's fine, because that's Biktine. It was different, broken up property, so it's not a proof from there that partial agency helped. Mm-hmm. Then here over here, the Gemara is saying, oh, what about that, the earlier issue you had with making more shtaros? Why don't we deal with that issue? Even though she's fulfilling the agency of the Yisomim, nevertheless, what, she's making more shtaros? And then we say, Biktine, exactly. She has to. She has no choice but to have it be more shtaros than she had before. All right, so now, this is La Locha. What comes out of here, this is, it depends how you read this Gemara. The Gemara went through a number of stages, right? The Gemara first asked about the Shliach adding on in excess of what he was supposed to do. Then the Gemara tried to bring proofs along that line, didn't bring anything, was not conclusive. Then the Gemara went to the Ikadamri. The Ikadamri says, oh, everybody agrees by Mosif that is Pashut, that he's done his Shlichus and then he's added on. Whereas the problem is when he's Pichet, when he did less than what he asked, is that a partial fulfillment of his agency? Or is that do we invalidate his agency because he didn't do it with the Balabai desk? Right, so then the Gemara went on, did some more stuff, and then the Gemara came to this line, Pshita. Right, he says, Pshita, when you say Echad, that it doesn't mean one and not two, but it means one and even two and one and even 100. So when the Gemara said Pshita, what was that, what was the Gemara saying? Was that Gemara concluding that it's okay to, when you do partial agency, it's okay, and the Gemara only needs to, right now, is testing out things where he makes a mistake by Mosil, when he makes a mistake in property, and that Gemara's already concluded that what, partial agency is fine, and that stands as agency? Or is the Gemara saying, Pshito, that's a case of when he says Echad, that he didn't get, that he's not giving exacting instructions, so the instructions can be perverted, right? So the, or they're not, I mean, it's not a perversion of the instructions when he does differently. Right.
When you say that that sheet is gone, if you say that partial is considered shlichus,
right.
What I'm going to do is if he does a few of them, does he have the time?
Right. You could right. You could read it that way. But the Rambam, I would just say this, that the Rambam reads, this is unique to the Rambam sheet, that when the Gemara goes through numerous scenarios and goes imtim salomar, the Rambam believes that the Gemara has concluded the previous case. If the Gemara says imtim salomar, if you believe this is true, then what would be the question like that? The Rambam always passes like the imtim salomar. That means that the Gemara has concluded, that's the conclusion. Now they're moving on to a further question. Right, so here you'll see, you always see them if you look at the mishpat on that. If it says imtim salomar, then the Rambam will pass like that, generally will pass like the imtim salomar. So if you say, even if you say it your way, it might be a possibility. If the Gemara is already saying, if we hold like this going forward, that might mean that the Gemara has already concluded that way. So that's, here. Let me just see here. If you look, Katavar Alphas. It's in Tosfos Amar Le'echad. It's the middle of the Tosfos here. Katavar Alphas. It's below where the Ein Mishpat goes. A little below, two, three lines below where the Ein Mishpat goes. First line of the word. First word on the line. Katavar Alphas. Lo Yifshita Behedjus. Nothing here in our sugya was conclusive, right? V'sugi and Demabir Adavar of Habi. Right, and this is in our sugya here. V'chein Katavar Beinu Chananel, that it was inconclusive. Rav Haikon called the Sefer Mechach Peshar Shishi the Mosif al Dvar Rav Havi. That the Gemara is conclusive. Why? The Amrina Pshita, because we say Pshita Amar Leechad Kpeda Stama Mai Vasikna Leechad Vafilu Shnayim Vafilu Leechad Lameya Al Mohichus Akamad Amar Mosif al Dvar Rav Havi. So he says that when the Gemara says Pshita, right, that the Gemara is coming now bringing a conclusive proof. Meaning Pshita that when he said one and two and not two, that means no. But when he says one, that what did Rav Chista and Rav Huna and Rav Nachman all paskind, that what? That it's Mosif al Dvar Rav Havi, and it's okay. It's not a problem. Right? Havi, Vuku Perish, Hai Pshita, Al Derech, Mai Havi Allah. Instead of, what do you mean, saying Pshita here doesn't mean that's the case, but say Mai Havi Allah. What's the Psak? That's what he's saying, Pshita. The Gemara says, we know this case, but what's the other case? And they're saying, Mai Havi Allah, what's the Psak? And the Gemara paskins over here. So, right, so either. It seems from the Gemara, if you read the Gemara, at least I read the Gemara, I would have read it that the Gemara is inconclusive. The Gemara has no conclusions about either side of it. Whereas the Rav Haigon's reading this Pshita to be a fulcrum point in the Gemara that this is it. What's the halacha here? My havi Allah. And then they paskin. They get paskin from Nachman, from Rav Huna, and Rav Chista, that's the Psak halacha, Rabbi Rav Huna and Rav Chista, that this is the halacha, that what, when Moshe Vel Dvar, he's considered as if he's adding on to that which the Baal HaBayis said. All right. Just do the Mishnah quickly, and then we'll start there again tomorrow. Shuma dayanim shepichtu shtut or hosifu shtut. If they assess a property, and they assess a property for more than a sixth above or a sixth below, which is olno botel, then their assessment is invalidated. Shim lomer omer mechran kayim that it stands imkain ma'akach based in yofet. If you don't allow it to stand, then you undermine the power of Beis Din to give assessments. Because if you're saying that Beis Din can make a mistake in the assessments and we're going to undermine their transactions, right, then nobody's going to rely on the assessments of Beis Din. So, avalim asui geret bikoretz. But if they went out and they what? They went out and actually checked the market. They went out to, they put out bid and proposals, right, out there and they had people bid on it. Then, b'neim, afilu mechru shavim money b'matayim, even if they sell something worth 100 for 200 or shavim matayim b'money, I mean, that's 50% off or 100% off the value, mechran kayim, then the mechran's kayim, because they got bids and proposals, and there's no way they had a public auction or they put it out there, and they, you can't come back now and question their valuation because they did what they could in given the circumstances.
The Tanakama obviously is coming back and saying that.
No, that's even it's two different cases. One's Shum and one's Igris Bikoret.
Right, but Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says no matter what,
if he did it,
it's done.
Yes. Oh, yeah. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, even the lower cases work. So obviously this case works.
Yeah. So obviously this works, right?
The Tanakama
seems to be saying if they did it that way, then.
All right. So we'll stop here.